Dan, if you'd come now, Dan's going to share some reflections. We'll get before we get into the Word. Dan Wadley.
Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel of the Kennebec Valley. If I haven't welcomed you, and those of you that have welcomed me, thank you, Josh and Mallory specifically. Be brief, because I wasn't sure how we do this, because we ran a little long, and I like Adam 60 minutes. So if you could turn with me briefly in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John. Our study with Pastor Adam is in the Epistle to the Philippians, and it's, as he has titled it, The Idiot's Guide to Joy. I always like titles like that. I have books on my bookshelf. They're black and yellow. They're called Dummies Books. I like those. They speak to me at a level I can understand. Many of you probably heard that the expression, and it really only translates in the English language, joy. You know, how do we have joy in our lives? J-O-Y, Jesus. Focus on Jesus, then others, and then yourself, and then you have joy. Of course, you know, if you spoke a different language, it might not translate the same way, but it's a biblical example, and that's what's relevant. When Jesus was challenged, what's the greatest commandment? He responded, basically, joy. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Keep Jesus first, and then others, and then yourself, and your priorities will be right. The aspect that the Lord kind of pressed on my heart was right here from the Gospel according to John. If you probably familiar passage, John chapter 1, verse 1 starts out, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The living Word of God, Jesus Christ. You know, we have heard said repeatedly around here, you know, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's why every time we show up in this building, our pastor opens this book and pours out God's Word so that faith can be produced in our lives. Because later, the Lord would inspire the writing to say, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So having a God-centered life, in many ways, I think you can say biblically, starts right here. If you turn in John to chapter 5, just turn forward a little bit, to the latter part of the chapter, John 5:39, the words in red, Jesus, the living Word of God, would say, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Jesus would say that this book, it's all about Him. You know, again, in Hebrews, it say the volume of the book is about Jesus. And then turning forward one more time in the Gospel according to John, chapter 14. If we were to come full circle to that biblical model of Jesus, others, yourself, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. John 14:15, the living Word of God would say, if you love me, keep my commandments. I have personally found in my life that there is a direct relationship to the joy in my life, regardless of outward circumstances, regardless of my job status. I've been unemployed before, not by choice. Maybe you can relate. Regardless of family relationships, regardless of anything going on in life, that I can choose joy in my life by the choice I make of the priorities. I think you can see, I have experienced that the priority I place to the Word of God, the written Word of God in my life, is a direct relationship to the priority that I place to the living Word of God in my life. Because Jesus, as he would point out, the written Word is all about the living Word. It's all about Jesus. And when I keep Jesus first in my life, regardless of external circumstances, I will have and experience joy in my life. And I found that to be the case. This book, there's a reason why our shepherd opens it every time we come here. It's so we can meet our Savior. It's so that we can, whether we're in Philippians or whether we're in Ephesians or any other books, is that we can experience, we can meet Him here, and we can experience that joy in our lives. So that's my take on joy. Thanks.
Thank you, Daniel-san. Perfectly okay to applaud here. We're in The Idiot's Guide to Joy. This is Joy in Anxiety here this morning. We'll look at Philippians chapter 4. We won't finish up the book today. We'll save that for next week. We have an abridged time. And also, even if we had an hour, I still wasn't going to finish there. It doesn't matter. So, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for, my joy and crown. I love being called stuff like that. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast. We're looking at, and we will be looking at, the armor of God on Wednesday night. He calls us to stand, withstand, stand, and stand. There's something to this Christian life. At the end of it, when the bell rings, you want to be standing. Here, he's talking about standing in these things. Now, this is kind of a funny passage to me. Strange, different. I don't know if we have anything like it in the whole New Testament. I beseech Euodias, that's a woman's name, and I beseech Syntyche, that's a woman's name too, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Okay, you two ladies, knock it off. Stop fighting. You go with me in your imagination how something like that could happen. Not here, of course, but way back then and those people. He mentions people by name. Paul's not ashamed or shy about calling people out. Also, obviously, it's something everybody knows about. No sense. You know those sisters? Tell them to knock it off. Everyone knows the sisters. They know them by name. Do we know what the problem is? No. Obviously, it's not important enough for us to know. And obviously, it's not of such import. Because Paul, like when he writes to the Corinthians, okay, listen, that guy who's having his stepmom who he's sleeping with, tell him to knock it off. Paul addresses problems head on. He doesn't address this. Why? It's obviously not a problem that you can address head on. But they are leaders in the church, as I'll prove here directly, and they're causing a lot of heartache, a lot of heartburn, a lot of agita. A lot of people are stressed out about this. If you're coming to church Sunday and there's open warfare among the leadership, would that stress you out? You say, only until I left. I don't come here. I don't need another stressor in my life. I come here to have the Spirit of God speak to my heart. And a lot of the stresses go away when that happens. I don't need another stressor. Me and Ron are at war, and everyone knows it. And as you come in, we're there, and we're trying to get you to pick sides over what? Do me and Ron ever disagree? Only about everything, every day, all the time. Spiritually? No, can't think of anything. Really. What do you disagree about? Oh, everything. We go out to have coffee, and I have coffee, and he has hot chocolate. That's sinister. I got the mic. You just sit there and pipe down, okay? You can make your case some other time. He likes that Comrade Twitty fellow. I like Sinatra. Conway. Okay, Conway. See? See, here's my point. No, we don't have fights about real stuff. We eat dinner. We go out to dinner together. I get whatever's spicy and hot and will melt your taste buds. That's what I get. And he thinks salt is a spice. He doesn't even use pepper. He's like, you know, the more just like lettuce is a big flavor in his life, okay? So we disagree about everything. Now imagine if we disagreed. But, you know, here's the thing that I think they're disagreeing about. I can only conjecture. It's not theology. Paul would address that. It's not dumb, stupid stuff about what kind of music you like. Because we're never all going to agree on that. We have worship. I kind of said, Matt, take charge. Now, Matt generally, no, I shouldn't say generally, he plays the stuff that I always like the best. Me and Matt, I know we're a generation apart, but we like very, very similar music. And I selected him. I said, Matt, two rules. No country western ever. And don't play Away in the Manger, not even as a joke. I'll just snap. Don't do that. He's kept those, and he does a great job. You know what I love about Matt? He worships God, and it's very natural for him to lead us in a worship of God. He's doing it anyway. And it's just kind of like, hey, let's just come along with me. This is what I'm all about here. And so he does a real good job. And we like the same music. Now, does everyone like the same music? No. How could it possibly be? It's music. We come from different cultures. We have different tastes. It's never going to be that. But that's not what it's going to be all about. Now we have a style around here. We have a way of doing things. People come in, you know, where's your robe? You got the wrong place. Where's your collar? Isn't it just supposed to have your collar turned on back? Where's the stained glass? Where's the steeple? This ain't real church. This is some old antique barn or something. You converted into it. Yeah, I know. That's how we roll around here. Now, if you come in and you're trying to convert us in style, good luck. I don't think we'll change that much. We like the way that we are. We're flexible. I mean, we try to like accommodate. Some things are going to be the way they are, and some things are not really going to change. And if you like the stained glass and steeple church, this one right down the street, I mean, you need to be somewhere else. Now, theologically, you need to be somewhere else. If you're not like, we're Trinitarian here. We believe in the Trinity. We believe Jesus Christ is divine. That's to say, Jesus is God. We believe in salvation through the blood atonement of Jesus Christ and having faith in that atonement. There's some things that are non-negotiables. Everything else, there's a lot of things here that aren't, I don't say this right because it kills me every time I say it. I hate to say this, but and once I say it, it's out there. There's things like you can disagree with us about, like speaking in tongues, like eschatology, end times things. You believe in mid-tribulation rapture. I want to have that discussion with you. Why do you have that crazy idea? But that's not a deal breaker. That's not, you have to go away. That's not. Are we going to agree on everything? Listen, there's some people that are like one-item voters. They come in, it's got to be this way. We got to have this in the service. You know, I bought my tambourine and I wanted to dance and Ron confiscated my tambourine at the door and I don't know what's going on here. There are those churches, and we say, praise God, go to them. You know, we love you. It's not like, I hate you, get out of here. It's like, you should probably be somewhere else. Some things, we can't accommodate everybody, especially when everyone's pulling in all different directions. Some of these things are just style things, and this is the style we've selected, okay? Now, if you come up with biblical, this is what the Word of God says, we'll change. We'll change and line up under the Word of God. Theologically, you're free to come up afterwards and tell me why I'm a knucklehead and why I didn't understand what I was teaching, why I was way out to lunch. That's fine. We can have those discussions. And then, of course, sometimes we're going to have to agree to disagree agreeably. We're not ever going to be on the same page about everything. I think that's what we have here because he doesn't rebuke either one of them. Now, they're leaders in the church. He calls them. He says, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Now, some of the commentary I read says that these are deaconesses, probably. And now that raises another problem, too. Deaconesses, if you ever make a deaconess around here, we'll be gone. So I don't have a problem with deaconess. I have a problem with pastorettes because the Word of God specifically says not to in both Timothy and Titus, but I don't have a problem with women deacons because I think the Bible talks about that. Phoebe's a deaconess in Romans chapter 16. We don't have any women deacons at this point, will we? I don't know, as the Lord leads, perhaps at some point we might. I want them to be of the same mind, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellows. Some people say that's a proper name there. And they've just translated it, and shouldn't be translated. It's a proper name. I don't know that. Whoever he's writing to, he's saying, help those women. In other words, arbitrate. How else do you help? And people are having an argument. They just can't come to you know, be of the same mind. You arbitrate. Now, the leadership of this church, I will tell you this about this. We have business meetings, okay? It's very, very, very dull. We don't have membership per se. If God told you to be here and you love Jesus, you're a member. When God tells you to be somewhere else, you'd be a member somewhere else. Maybe you'll put your name in a role somewhere. But if here's the thing. Why would you want to be a member? I mean, you don't get to vote anyway. You get to talk. You get to speak into our lives. You can go to a business meeting. I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, really, it's the dullest thing. We pray. And then we, like, agree. We have this, because it's not about where we're going to eat lunch. That's why. So we always agree, and we'll finish off each other's sentences. We never had a spat or anything, no turmoil. You know, I went to church before where, you know, the business meeting is the time. People come out, they bring their claws, they got their weapons loaded and their, you know, knives sharp, and it's a brutal time. We don't have that. Good riddance. I don't need it. Don't need the heartburn. So we have they're very basic, and we determine, like, you know, what missionaries we're going to support and things like this. And most of it's just like prayer time. The board is myself and Ron, Matt, Dan. Dan's an elder, and a lot of you guys don't know that. When he came to us, he was already an elder by my pastor, Ken Graves. Well, I don't second guess Ken. And by the way, I don't have a problem with Dan being an elder. It's not like, well, Ken made him an elder, so I guess we got to. It's not that at all. It's like, I think he's already an elder. We have deacons right now, too. There are Tom, my son Micah, Rick, McMahon. And as the church grows, we'll have others as well, I'm sure. But anyway, the elders are kind of, and John Mills from Calvary Chapel in Bangor make up the board. I want someone from Bangor, so we're going to lose touch with Bangor and give us perspective outside the group. And he was happy to do it. If you know John, if you know any of these men, their integrity is unimpeachable. They're not yes men. I don't want yes men in my life. I don't have people who say, oh, yes, Adam, you said it. Hallelujah, amen. And just kind of don't want them in my life. Don't have them in my life. I have to have people around me who aren't afraid to call me an idiot when I'm being an idiot. My life works so much better that way. Suze is on the board as well. She's the recording secretary, but she doesn't have a vote. And we set it up so she didn't have a vote because I didn't want anyone to think I'm stacking the board with people with my last name or with cronies, because I don't want it. I want people who can hold my feet to the fire. And so now let's say we come to we have five people on the board and I just have one vote. And let's say it's 3-2. Okay, I think we could do that. I don't think we have. I think all our votes have been unanimous so far in 3 years or so. Because like I say, we're the group, we finish off each other's sentences. I like it that way. Frankly, I don't want the heartburn. I don't want to go to war. Got a board meeting, you know, get my gun loaded, let's go, you know. Don't want it. So we have the same mind. What happens when we're at loggerheads and we just can't come to agreement? We'll have to have somebody arbitrate. Somebody shows up with the black and white shirt, the whistle, calls fair and foul, and we have to do what they say. What's the other option? Sue? No, we're supposed to have unity. We're supposed to look like something. We'd be giving people a bad representation of Jesus Christ. Churches do it all the time. First church I was ever in where I became a member, the pastor, the Sunday school director, who was a woman, ran off, left her husband for another man, and the pastor had the audacity to want to bring her up church discipline. That, incredible. You say, well, that's a no-brainer. Obviously, he'd do that. Not according to this church. It was very liberal. It was a Baptist church, but it was very liberal in its orientation. It was more a country club, and they accidentally hired a gospel preacher. They didn't know what they had gotten in for and stuff like this. And of course, sin was okay. We can't judge anyone. Let him who's without sin cast the first stone. This was brought up at the business meeting by people who came to this church who, after I've been going there for a year, I've never seen, but they still were members in good standing. And so they showed up at this business meeting. I'm like, who's this guy? Who's this guy? Who's this lady? Who's this guy who are voting my pastor out of office? It's crazy. No, we won't be having any of your business meetings around here. And besides, here's the other thing, too. You know how it is. You give people a chance to make a choice over drapes. Church split. You're playing with fire right there. You know, that's how we are. You know, you give them two options and someone come up with a third and they're calling, you know, for your head, and it's just not going to go well. We don't want that around here. This here, he says, listen, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women. Show up with the black and white striped shirt and the whistle. Help them. Help arbitrate this problem. I want you guys, you ladies, I want you to be of the same mind. They labored with me in the gospel. These are notable women. These aren't just some Johnny-come-lately, two women who the wind blew in and they're causing a lot of heartburn. They're leaders in the church. And he's saying, knock it off. They labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are written in the book of life. This yoke fellow, Clement, other laborers, and Euodias and Syntyche, their names are written in the book of life. They're the real deal. They're not unsaved people. So now you come to church and there's the battle going up, and there's all heartburn, agita, angst. Oh, we're going to have the battle today. I can just sense it. That caused strife. Yeah, it does. I think that's why he spends the rest of this passage looking at a cure for care, a cure for strife, a cure for anxiousness. What is he going to say about it first? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. This book is about joy. Rejoice. Well, yeah, but these women are fighting and there's trouble brewing in the church and people are taking sides. And listen, rejoice. You're saying, well, that can't mean that in the original Greek, that we're just supposed to, you know, yay, people are dividing. Let's do the happy monkey dance. It does say that, rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you didn't get it the first time, and again I say rejoice. Yes, it does mean that. It means despite stuff going around, listen, focus number one, we don't care about the music or what style it is. We don't care if the pastor has a backwards call or if he calls himself reverend. We don't care about that. We care about Jesus. That's the number one issue here. That's what we're all about. It's what Dan told us about. We put Jesus first, we put others second, we put ourselves last. This is the way we're not picking sides. Jesus isn't a side. That's the deal breaker. It's all about Jesus all the time. And in that, we can rejoice. Listen, we sing about Jesus, right? We can't sing about anything else. We can't sing about political parties. We don't belong to the same one. We can't sing about our job. Someone will be singing, take this job and shove it. Someone else will be saying, I like this work. I think it's good. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate the job you've given me. We can't say, what else can we unite in? We can unite in Jesus. What do you think we're here this morning? Jesus, rejoice in the Lord. Always. All the time. And again, I say rejoice. Now, this is not a Pollyanna verse. Listen, you get the bad report from the doctor. It's okay to be shook up. It's okay to cry. It's okay to reach out for somebody. It's okay to get prayer. You know, my husband died. We were married 57 years. Rejoice in the Lord always, sister. And again, I say rejoice. Shut up. You are an obnoxious snot. You have no idea what you talk about. Yes, it's a true verse, but it's not true for that situation. Weep with those who weep, okay? This doesn't mean that everything's going good. And this doesn't mean you have to put some weird spin on it. You know what I mean? The doctor tells you you've got some sort of atrophying disease in your leg and the leg has to come off. Well, praise the Lord, I'm not losing both legs. It's not saying that. It's saying that we understand that God is sovereign. Everything's going by his providence. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Is there in bad situations a place for rejoice? Yeah, there really is. We've looked at this book. Now look, this is 7th week or so. We looked at joy through suffering, death, humility, obedience. These aren't, well, listen to what I'm not saying. Wealth, health, longevity, pride, exaltation. That's easy to be, when somebody lifts you up and promotes you, that's easy to be joyful about that. When you're humbled by God, when you're that's the hard time to be, but that's where we find the rejoice. That's where we find the joy, and we've done it all through. Now he's talking about a bad situation. He's saying this: rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation. Somebody get some other word there. I had it and I lost it. Gentleness. We show up. We get the boxing gloves out. Nah, gentleness. He's talking about a situation where people are taking sides. Let your gentleness be known on all men. But someone comes to me, and if I can accommodate, I always accommodate. Why? Because I'm not a boxer. I don't show up here to fight. Sometimes I have to talk to somebody about sin in their life. I never joy in that. That's one of the things that go with the job description, but I hate it. I hate getting in somebody's face and saying, listen, dude, you are messing up in every way a man can mess up. You have to stop. You have to repent. I hate that. It's part of the deal. It's part of the, but when somebody says, hey, can we do this? Yeah. Okay. I want to be gentle. I want to be accommodating. I want to meet you halfway. I want to be, why? I had no spine. I got no direction. Six one half does the other. Me and my wife go out to dinner. Where do you want to eat, honey? She says, wherever, and that's where we go. How hard is that to figure out? You want to fight about where you're going to eat lunch? I don't. So a lot of things, people come to me and they say to me, hey, can we do that? Yeah, sounds great. Let's try that. Let's do that. I want to be moderate. I want to be way off in one direction or the other. Listen, it's my way or the highway. This is my church. I'm the czar. Do you ever hear me talk like that? Do you ever hear me even joke like that? I don't want to be that guy. I've been a czar church where you can't get around the pastor. If you even are buying new hymnals, he's got to be the head of the hymnal buying committee. If you buy a new piano, he's the head of the piano buying committee. If you buy a new box of Kleenex, he wants to say, well, it's got to be this color and it's got to be this kind with the lotion already on it. It's so in command. You can't get around him. He doesn't have people who handle things. He handles everything. I don't want to be that guy. I tell everyone, I'm a one-trick pony. I show up, I teach. That's it. People say, well, we want to do this. Yeah, go ahead. Let your moderation be known at all, man. Yeah, don't show up, fists up. Okay, this is the way it's going to be. No, we're not about that. We're about unity. I don't want to cause any more heartburn. You got enough heartburn in your life already. Let your moderation be known at all, man. Why? The Lord is at hand. He's right here. He understands everything. He's like watching over. Be careful for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. What will happen if that happens? Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Listen, you got anxiety. Go see a doctor or a psychiatrist, and he'll give you a pill, and we can cure anxiety now. What is it, 70 million Americans on some sort of drugs to help them cope? I don't think so, guys. Can I just share my heart now? This is how I see this. Psychiatrist, by the way, psyche, soul. Trist has the idea of healer, soul healer. Go to a psychiatrist and ask him if he has a soul, and it's gonna suffer the death of 1,000 qualifications. Well, if by soul, do you mean, he'll start in there. At the end of it all, he'll say, I don't know if you have a soul. How can he heal something he doesn't know if you even have? We can heal souls around here because, one, we know you got them. Two, the Word of God. Now, listen, you go to a psychiatrist, he'll take out a little prescription pad. He's never going to open up a little New Testament. That ain't going to happen. Shake your head and that idea falls right out. So he can't really heal your soul at all. But he'll cure you from your symptoms with a little pill. Wow, I got a better cure. Repent. Anxiety is not a condition to be treated. It's a sin to be repented from. Say, wow, Adam, that's harsh. Okay. That's harsh. Isn't it that I stopped trusting God at some point? That's why I'm all nerved up and I'm all worked up. Jesus said about this in the Sermon on the Mount. He spends an extended section. Listen, what are you worried all about? Don't you know God? Birds don't worry. Flowers don't worry. He ends up saying, just listen, seek God and his righteousness, all these other things, they'll be added unto you. Don't you think God knows you need food? You ever see a bird, mockingbird, down the end of the off-ramp, little sign, we'll sing for bird seed. You see that? Ain't going to happen. They understand, God loves me. It's food, plenty of it. Ever see two flowers, girl flowers, no doubt, or a girl flower saying to a husband flower, These leaves make my butt look fat. Because flowers don't worry. And Jesus says, be like them. This is an indicator in my life all the time. I got all this like broiling up, all this agita, just this, oh, what if I get sick? You know, I have somebody get sick, you know, and they get cancer. What if I get cancer? Oh, my God, what if I have to go get radiation treatments? Oh, what if I have to have an operation? What if I can't work? What if I... What? What? That could happen, and God's still God. What are you getting all worked up about? He's loved me, brought me this far. What if I lose my job? What if my wife leaves me? What if my cat dies? What if I... We get all worked up. We borrow trouble from tomorrow that may never happen. That's what we do. And it turns into, it gets really out of hand like all sins do. And then it turns into a condition. We got agoraphobia. We got anxiety. We get panic attacks. Then off to the doctor, he gives us a pill, and we're all set again. Listen, I'm telling you, the answer is repent. Every time I get all nerved up, and it happens sometimes. This is a nervous world. This is a reason. The world will give you reasons for anxiety. So what do? Lord, I'm sorry I am not trusting you. Help me to just focus on you. I know that you love me. You died for me. You gave me your only son. You haven't withheld anything from me. You've given me all things pertaining to life and godliness. Lord, if you've called me for a season to suffer, help me suffer well. Help me glorify you in this. Now I'm casting all my cares on him. He cares about me. And all those cares just go, they just melt like so much snow in the noonday sun. They just vaporize, just disappear. Does it work? You know it works. If you've done it, you know it works. But what? Instead, we want to get all nerved up about stuff that we can't change anyway. What's the sense? What we're showing to the world is our God doesn't really care about us. I've got to fret, I've got to worry, and I've got to worry, and I've got to fret. I think it's wrong. Don't be careful. Be full of care about nothing. The doctor's report, the economy. The economy's in the toilet. You know that, right? Your 401k is about a 201k now if you're doing good. We know it. We get it. Whoa, Lord, what happens if he feeds birds? Remember when Elijah's down the, what was it, Kidron Brook there, and the ravens are bringing him supper every night? He gets nasty birds to bring the prophet. Is there a raven shortage? Did God forget how to bless? Is his hand shortened that he can't save? Look at this, 2 to 3 million people walking through the wilderness with livestock, and he gives them food every day and water in the wilderness. 2 to 3 million. Think of how you'd have to do that. God just says, nah, just have it rain down them. Water, yeah, there's a rock right here. Just, and takes care of it. Now, all of a sudden he doesn't know about you. All of a sudden he doesn't care about you. If you stop and think about it, you know I'm right. And you know I'm right to a large degree. Don't be careful for anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which is, you can't figure out the peace of God. It passes all understanding. Somebody you love very sincerely died. And God's peace was there. How does that work? I don't know. See, people going through tremendous struggles and loving Jesus the whole time. How does that work? I don't know. Seen it. I can't figure it out. I can't understand it. Been there. You've been there. The peace of God, which passes all saying, shall keep, like, safe your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Your heart and your mind, your thoughts. Okay? Stuff. It's what we need. Finally, brethren, we'll pick this up here next week, but I want to just cover it this week, and we'll start in this passage next week. Finally, brethren, you know why you have so much agita? You know why you're totally stressed out? Because you're not doing this verse. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report. Does the evening news pass muster? I don't think so. I'm just wondering, you know, does People magazine? I don't think so. You know what I mean? You read about the, you know, this Hollywood couple's 18th divorce, and you're thinking like, marriages don't work. Marriage in America doesn't work. Listen, you're not whatever's good, whatever's good report, whatever's lovely, whatever's true, whatever's, you're not doing it. You're filling your mind with stuff that is worrisome. So I go around like some sort of like, you know, with my head buried in the sand, like some sort of ostrich and not know about what's going on. No, but I want you to understand everything through God's perspective. I'm not even against watching the news. I'm really not. If I didn't watch the news as a Christian, I'd go out and I'd take my own life or something. It's bad. It's bad. But no good news ever makes the news. You ever notice that? It's bad. It's bad. And it's worse. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this is the worst. Everything's going moving sideways on us. I'd lose all hope. But what? So, by the way, I don't watch the news, just so you know, just because of that reason. I start, you know, I can watch the news. I just feel myself sinking down, I'm not praising the Lord anymore. No, fill your life, fill your mind with the scriptures, with the things that, with you know, with you get something on the internet, it's really cool, and somebody passes you, pass it along. You know, if it meets, passes muster here, think on these things. We'll pick this up next week because we haven't said all that we're going to say about that. We're going to dissect that a little bit more, and we're going to finish the book next week, God willing. Let's stand, let's pray. Matt's going to come and send us out of here in song. Lord, we don't want to worry. We want to worship. We want to think of these things, Lord. We want to seek first the kingdom of God. We want to seek first your righteousness. You'll take care of loving us and taking care of our needs. You've always been a gracious heavenly Father. We have need of nothing, Lord. We live in opulence by much of the world's standards. Again, Lord, just thank you and praise you for blessing us. Thank you for this timely reminder to cast all our cares on you prayerfully and that you'll take care of us. Lord, that we would have less anxiousness in our lives, that we would be careful for nothing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.